أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
Dear believers, assalamu alaikum. We praise Allah and we witness that Allah is one. We witness that Allah is the creator of everything. We witness that Allah is the Rabb of the heavens, Asamai, and the earth, Al Adi. And we witness that Allah cares about all of His creation. He created and then He cared for His creation until He brought this creation to guidance. And the best of His creation is the servants of Allah, the prophets, the messengers of Allah. And He created the human being to be His servants and His messenger. We want to begin by reading in the English translation something from the Holy Quran from Surah Nisa. This is the 172nd ayat, wherein Allah says, and I'm giving the English interpretation. It says, the Messiah, or Christ, has no objection, has no difficulty, has no resistance to serving and worshiping Allah, the Christ, the Messiah. He has no objection because he realizes that he's a creation of Allah as well as everyone, but he is a creation that totally, like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and like Ibrahim and others, totally submitted himself, submitted his will to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Holy Quran also says, nor do the angels, have any objection to totally submitting themselves to Allah. And those nearest to Allah, those who are near to Allah, the true believers, we have no problem giving ourselves totally to Allah. Have no problem saying no to the things that the shaitan invites us to do that are evil and that are haram. The true believers have no problem. We may be tested, but we love to say no to Satan because our desire is to please Allah. But those who have a problem worshiping Allah, and those who are arrogant, arrogant means rebellious, that Allah will gather them on the day of Yom Kiyamah and they will have to answer. But there is no answer, and so they are going to be put into the fire. But those who believe and those who do righteous things, righteous work, because you can't just say you believe, you also have to do the righteous work, that Allah will give those who believe and who do the righteous work our rewards, our barakah, our blessings, and even more than we may even be able to imagine, out of His mercy, out of His bounty. We say bounty, we mean of all the things that He has created. He can dispense all the rewards freely. He never runs out of rewards for those that worship and serve Him, for those that believe and do righteous. The rewards just keep on coming. It's like a river of blessing that never stops flowing. But those who object, who rebel against serving Allah, those who are too proud to bow and serve Allah, like this Satan, like Iblis, that those people He will punish with a very painful, very bad penalty, and they will not find anyone to help them to get out of the trouble they're in. Only if they repent of their rebellion and return and bow to Allah, then He, if they're sincere, He will accept their repentance, if they're sincere, and then they will begin to be relieved of the punishment. And Allah says to the people, O people, truly there has come to you a convincing proof. Convincing, another way of putting it is clear evidence. The clear proof from your Rabb, because we have sent a light to you that is clear. And of course we know the light comes in two forms. It comes in the form of the Wahi revelation. In our case as the Muslim, the Quran. In the case of Isa and his followers, the Injil. In the case of Dawood and his followers, the Sabur. In the case of Ibrahim and his followers, the Sahufi. But we have the complete revelation. We have the Quran, and it's clear because Allah has sealed it, and no one can change, not a single word, not a single sound. When I say sound, I mean everything that's in the Quran that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad is still in the Quran today. There may be different inflections in the recitation, but if you look at the written Quran that was written during the time of Abu Bakr, and later, as Uthman prepared one for the distribution, the same thing that Prophet Muhammad had revealed to him that was written down and compiled. And I've been to a Quranic museum in Bahrain where they had a Quran that went all the way back to that time, and it's the same Quran. It has not changed. Allah would not allow anyone to change the Arabic Quran, because Allah wants us from now until the end of time to have the clear guidance. And Allah says that those who believe in Allah and who hold fast to Him, who stay with Allah, who don't deviate, who don't allow the Shaitan to pull us off into these other behavior, these other types of lifestyles, as they call them, but stay with the Sirat al-Mustaqim, stay on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, It said that Allah will admit us to His mercy. He will bless us with His mercy, His Rahim, and His Rahman. And He will give us barakah. And He will guide us to Himself. He will guide us away from these other things that will cause us to have all of these problems that we bring on ourselves. He will take us out of the mind to even want to be doing any of those things. And He will make us only want to do that which will be good for us, that He has blessed us to know clearly what's good for us. And He will make us so that's all we want to do. So this talk that we're going to give won't be very long, but I want you to bear with me, brothers, because actually I'm going to be broadcasting this talk later this evening on internet radio, and so I want others to be able to hear this message, because there is a big problem today that we as the Muslims have to work very hard to solve, and that is the problem of the smoke. The smoke. If you hear that there's a fire in somebody's house and you want to go in there and look for the people so you can save people from being burned in the fire, the first thing you have to do is you have to put on some type of a mask so that you can breathe air, because the smoke may have poison gas in it that will kill you. And you may not be able to see. So usually the mask is going to have some goggles to help you to be able to see better. But in the world today, unless people have this deen, they can't really see because the smoke is everywhere. The poison gas of all of these different kind of suggestions and enticements and deviations. When you turn on the TV, you see and you hear things that your soul tells you you shouldn't have to look at that. When you turn on the TV, you should be able to see something that's going to uplift you. But very few TV stations have a channel where everything is going to be beneficial. Maybe public TV may have mostly good things, but the commercial TV, it's all full of smoke, things to take you so you can't see clearly how to serve Allah. And so, we won't talk too long, but we want to mention this. Allah says about our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He said, "We have not sent you to be other than a mercy to all the worlds." Because the world during the time of Prophet Muhammad, some of you may have studied the history of the Arabs, but the history of the Arabs was not much different than the history of the Romans or the history of other people in Europe or in different parts of the world, in China. But except the history of the Arabs, they were in worse condition. They were in worse condition. You don't hear as vicious and cruel as the Romans were when they fought their enemies. You don't hear about them burying the baby girls alive. You hear about the Chinese wrapping up their little girls' feet real tight so they'd have little tiny feet. There was something about little tiny feet that the Chinese people liked, so they would crush their little baby girls' bones by wrapping them up so their feet would not grow big. But you didn't hear about them taking the little baby girls that were still breathing and crying and putting them in a hole and covering them up with dirt while they were alive. The Arabs were doing this. They were doing even worse things than this. No, I can't say that. I can't think of anything worse than that. But they were doing terrible things. So when Allah raised up the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was mercy for those people. It took them out of that type of behavior. So now fresh air of good minds and good hearts was able to come into their culture and remove all of this evil. So Allah says, "We have not sent you other than as a mercy," not just to the Arabs, but to all of the people, to all of the people. This means that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came as a mercy to all human beings, not only to the individual, but he came to nations, as I say, the Arab nation, and then it spread, and it went up into the area north of Arabia. Went up to into the area near Jerusalem, where the Jewish people had basically persecuted the followers of Isa ibn Maryam, who were trying to lift them out of the evil that they were doing. And the Jewish people ran them out, they killed them, they persecuted them. So they had gone downhill. And these were the people who Abraham had been promised that imams would come from these people if they obeyed Allah, but they had deviated. So he sent Musa, and they still deviated after a while. And then he sent Isa ibn Maryam, and they still deviated after a while. So finally he sent Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were able to bring these people back into the light. But you see, some of those people, they still wanted to go backwards. But this Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a mercy for everyone. So we're going to close this part in just a second. But the fact is that we as Muslims, we have a great responsibility. One reason that we have a great responsibility, now that we know something more about the history of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that he brought knowledge. He brought the greatest knowledge. He brought the pure knowledge. You know, you cannot, I don't care if you go to the university. And I am a university professor, and so I work and live in the university environment, and I listen to the professors talk about their knowledge, but their knowledge is still knowledge that is not complete. Their knowledge has not been able to redeem the human being from all of the trouble that you see going in the world. All of their knowledge together, it's almost like Musa, alayhi salam, when he went to Pharaoh and he told Pharaoh to let the people go so they could follow him to serve Allah, and he didn't want to release the people, so he sent his magicians to try to develop different kinds of tricks. And, you know, magicians do magic tricks, you know, to make the people see things that are not there. But it didn't work. It didn't work, because whenever that the magician would do a trick, then Musa would clear up that with the truth. He would bring the binder. He would bring the clear evidence. So the true believers, the one that wanted to be saved from all of this tricknology, all of these tricks, they were able to see clearly what was right and what was wrong. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's telling us that the clear evidence, the best knowledge, is this right here from Allah. So all of the science of the world is not able, has not been able to be able to keep the people from falling into the hellfire. But this will keep everyone from falling into the hellfire. So as Muslims, dear brothers, as we close this part, let us first of all protect ourselves from the hellfire. You know, the greatest thing, I will share this with you before I close. 2 weeks ago, I was in the hospital preparing myself to die. Yes. When you go into the hospital for surgery, you have to prepare yourself to die. Because the first thing that's going to happen is they're going to put something in your system, if it's an American hospital, where you become about that far from being dead. They reduce your heartbeat, so you don't feel anything. And then they have to put some more, drugs in you after they finish doing their work on you to bring you back. And they're watching you on this monitor, and they're watching, and they see the monitor, it go down, where your heart is just almost not even beating. But if it stops, you're dead. And so they're watching to make sure that if they see it looking like it's not going to work anymore, then they start working on you. Now, something happened when I came out of it, and I looked at myself, and I saw a hole. I saw a hole where they had punched a hole in the middle of my chest. And I asked myself, I said, I wonder why they did that. They wasn't working on this part of me. They were working on the part down lower. So why did they punch a hole there? And the only thing I could think about, but I didn't ask the doctor, I really don't want to know. But the only thing I can think about is they need to put some kind of drug in me to make my heart work. See, because I have a heart condition. See, they knew when I went in the surgery that it was possible that I could die because I have a heart condition. So I said, maybe they put something in me to stimulate my heart. What I'm actually saying is that coming out of that, and of course I'm here, so that's a blessing. I said, now what is the reason why that I am here instead of in the ground? What's the reason why any of us are here instead of in the ground? We have a reason. We are not ordinary people. Because we have Islam. And we have the right knowledge. We have the clear evidence. We have the guidance. We have the light. It's like being in a dark cave. You know, about a month ago, they had some boys, about 12 boys, I'm not sure the number, they had gotten involved in traveling through a cave, and then it started raining, and the cave started filling up with water, and it was dark in there. Well, life can be like a dark cave, filling up with water, but the water's not water you want to be in. The water may have snakes in it. The water may have all kinds of disease in it. That's the environment that we're living in a dark cave. You can't see how to get out. You can't see what you need to see to be safe. But Prophet Muhammad is the light, and the Quran is the light that Allah gave to the world to see how to get out of the dark cave. But how are the people going to get the light? Through you and me. First of all, we have to be examples ourselves. We have to try to be as much like Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as we can. We have to study his life, study the way he behaved, study the way that he prayed, study the way that he treated his wife, study the way that he treated his friends, study the way that he dealt with his business affairs, study the way that he performed as a military general, a military officer. He was all of these things, and try to be as close to his example as we can. That's the first thing. And then if we do that, then we have the right. Then we have the privilege and the right and the honor to tell other people how to behave. But first we have to be living the life ourselves. So that's the end of this talk for now. Let us try to live the true Muslim life every day, every minute, every hour, inshallah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhabannar. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Dear Muslims, like our leader, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we also should have it in our hearts to be a mercy to all the worlds. Like Prophet Muhammad knew, because the Quran told him, Allah told him through the angel Jibreel, that his mission was to be a mercy to all the worlds. It says it right here in the Quran. And so we should be like that too. We are his followers, so we should be like that too. So like our leader, Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we also should have it in our hearts to be a mercy to all the worlds. And we should want our ummah, the ummah of al-Islam, to be a model community, to be a model nation, to be a model community. And Allah wants us to be a witness through our personal example, not just with what we say with our mouth, but through our personal life, for all of the other communities. So when they're looking for the right guidance, even when it comes to how to set up business affairs, they should look at the Muslims. So these people know how to do the right kind of business affairs. Even when it comes to education, and they're trying to figure out how to improve the educational system. In this country, there's a big problem because the schools are really going downhill. Students now, when they go to school, they have to go through a metal detector to make sure they're not carrying weapons, because students are going into their schools and killing their students, killing their teachers. Yeah, students are doing that. This educational system is getting in to the situation now where a lot of parents don't want to send their children to school anymore. So if the communities want to send example of a peaceful, a very good school program, they should be able to look at us. They should be able to look at the Muslims. And of course, if they want to see how families should live, how men should treat their wives, how wives should treat their husbands, how parents should treat their children, how children should respect their parents, they should be able to look at the Muslims. So we have to become, as we close, we have to become more and more aware, and we have to become more and more conscious of the fact that we, the Muslims, we have the superior guidance. We have the best, the mercy from Allah in the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if we follow it, then we will have the superior community life, and we will be a guide for the rest of the people, inshallah. Allah, bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as you just bless Ibrahim and the followers of Ibrahim, for surely thou art praised and magnified. Allah, make Muhammad successful and make the true and the faithful followers of Muhammad. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. With Allah's name, our merciful benefactor, our merciful redeemer, we witness that He is one, and we give all praise to Him who sustains the heavens and the earth, and who cares for all of His creation, especially His human creation. And we witness that Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, to whom the Quran was revealed, is His noble and generous messenger. Allah says of him, of Prophet Muhammad, Salah Allahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace and blessing be upon him, that we should salute him with prayers and with peace. And Allah also says of him that he is a mercy to all the worlds, a mercy to all the worlds. In the Quran it says, and I quote, "We have not sent you," speaking of Muhammad, peace be upon him, "except to be a mercy for all the worlds." It says to all the worlds. Everything that we have in Al-Islam from the Quran and from Muhammad, peace be upon him, who received the Quran for us, directly or indirectly, addresses something that is in the scriptures that came before, or is in the religious traditions of the people who had religious communities before the coming of Prophet Muhammad, God's servant and messenger, the peace and blessing be upon him. The Quran is all the words of God. The Quran is all the words of God, whereas other scriptures are not all the words of God. We are not saying this. They say that. It is not us criticizing other scriptures. They are not all the words of God through the prophets. Others came behind the prophets, and they wrote much of what we find in the scriptures. Outside of Muslims, other scriptures carried the words and teachings of their holy people, of their saintly people, of their rabbis and their priests and monks, etc. And it is not all revelation from God. Apostle Paul is one of the main authors of the new books in the New Testament, apostle named Paul. And it is not agreed in Christian history or in the Christian church that all that Paul received was from God. We only have Quran that claims to be only the word of God. There's nothing in there that came from Muhammad himself. He was not able to speak those words. He was not learned in scripture and not even acquainted with scripture. It was all strange to him. It was all inspired and came directly from the Most High God, highly glorified and praised is He. And so Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, is a mercy to all the worlds. We read in Quran that this was revealed to him, that he was not knowing any of this. It says he had no access to any of your knowledge. This is made clear in the Quran about Muhammad the Prophet. It also says they wonder, what kind of book is this that leaves out nothing, big or small? What this is referring to is the key for us as Muslims. To understand the Quran, we have to know the context, meaning the situation that it is addressing. Does it address every book that ever appeared in the world when it says it leaves out nothing, small or large? No, that is too much. And there's a lot of nonsense and a lot of foolishness in books that the Quran does not address. The Quran only addresses what people claim to be the word of God, or what people claim that God authorized. It only addresses that and no more. Does God authorize you to do these things you are doing in the name of God? Quran has Muhammad challenging it and addressing the people. It is to make them prove that this that they are claiming is not from God. These are the issues that are found in the context of revealed knowledge, and in the context of that which the world used after the revealed knowledge or even before, to say this is from God. I'm going to just kind of explain that a little bit. I know it might be a little bit confusing, but for an example, in the Quran, we're told not to use any kind of intoxicants, not even a little bit, okay? The Quran says that not even a little bit is good for us to use. It says there's some good in, like, the alcohol, but there's more bad, so leave it alone completely. It's from God. Everything in the Quran that we have is from God, okay? Muhammad did not write the Quran. He did not make up. He did not invent any of this. He was the receiver from the angel who brought it from God, and he gave it to us exactly the way he received it. He didn't add anything. He didn't put any new color on it. He just gave it straight the way he got it. He was required by the angel to repeat it until it was memorized exactly the way that the angel brought it from God. And that's what he gave the people, and they recorded it. And since several of them were there, usually when he had the revelation, then they would check each other to make sure that they heard it right from him, so that it wasn't changed by anybody. Now, on the other hand, we have other books that the people, they may have received the information from the prophet, like in the case of the what we call Bible. For example, Jesus, okay, he was a prophet. He was a messenger of God. God gave him revelation. We call it the Injil. In the English, they call it the Gospel, okay? Now, he taught the people to worship God. He said that he was sent by God. He said that I only speak what God put in me. He said, when you see me, meaning when you hear me, really, you're hearing words from God. Not my words, but God's word. In another place, when he was about to go through what the church calls the agony means suffering, of the crucifixion, he prayed, and his words to God were, if it's possible, let this experience not happen. He used the term, if it's possible, don't let this me have to drink of this cup. It's a way of saying not to have to go through what I'm supposed to go through. This is in the Christian Bible. But he says, but not my will, but your will be done. In other words, he submitted himself to the will of God. He didn't have any separate idea or separate will other than God. So we know that's the way it should be. The messenger, the one that God sent, always represents God. But later on, when the apostle named Paul comes, then he gives pictures of Jesus being independent, of him being like a God himself, instead of just being a representative of God. You see, but Paul wasn't Jesus. Paul was another man that came after Jesus. And then he added this information. Well, the Quran doesn't have that. The Quran, everything in the Quran came from God. And so that's why we should try to make sure that we understand, as Muslims, the Quran, because people come to us, because a lot of people are confused about things that they have been taught in their religion, like the thing about the alcohol. If the God says, you know, don't drink it, and then you hear somebody say it's okay to drink a little bit of it, that's confusion. But then you say, well, where did that come from? Who invented this extra information saying it's okay to drink it, you know, after the Quran says that's not possible, you can't drink it, it's not permitted. So what we have to do, we have to have a single standard that we know has not been added to, that nobody has gotten in there and put in their information. And we know as Muslims that that one single standard, that one book of revealed scripture is the Quran. Now, that's not to say that other books don't have the word of God in them. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And I'll be honest with you. You know, I grew up as a Christian, and our brother that's visiting us today, he's a Catholic. Well, I studied to be a Catholic priest. Yes, I went to the seminary to be a Catholic priest. And as a student studying to be a priest, I became very familiar with the teaching of Jesus. I became very familiar with the teaching of the Bible. And it was very obvious to me that there were some things in the Bible that someone besides God had made up. Now, for an example, if the Quran tells me that I can have up to four wives, but I have to be fair to all of them. See, some women can't have children. Some women, especially when they get older, they became sick and incapable of having marital relations with their husband. You know, There's lots of reasons why a wife may not be able to perform the duties that you expect her to be able to perform when you marry her. Okay? So what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to have a girlfriend? No. No. Are you supposed to go to a house of prostitution? No. So are you supposed to suffer? No. So what are you supposed to do? Now, the Quran says that you can have up to four wives if you're going to be fair to all of them. But it says better if you only have one. So if you can manage just to have one, that's what you should do. But if you're in a situation where it's just not working because your wife is ill, and we have a situation here in this area, a brother who has actually been an imam here on this post, has preached in the masjid here on this post. He's dead now. He died about a year and a half ago. Now, his wife has cancer. Cancer. That's a very painful disease. It's very difficult for her. She can't even hardly walk, all right? She can't even hardly walk. She has a walker. She has this device that helps her to be able to walk. Physically, she's just not capable of performing the wifely duties. Now, this brother is a good brother. So he had a choice he had to make. He could live, even though he's very healthy, he had a medical problem, but he was healthy. He could live a life of a monk. You know, a monk is somebody that doesn't have a woman, right? And treat his wife just like that she was his mother or his sister, okay? Just have a companion but not have a real wifely relationship. Or he could get another wife and still take care of his first wife, but get another wife so he could have a complete life. Now what this brother decided to do is what the Quran allowed him to do. What do you think that was? He got another wife. He still took care of his first wife. He didn't take anything away from his first wife. He did not deprive her of any love and affection. He did not deprive her of any of the money that normally he used to give her. So he did everything that he was doing with her, but so he would not be falling into sin, looking at pornography, or going and getting him a girlfriend. He did what the Quran allowed him to do. He got him another wife. Now, if somebody comes behind that, right, and God has already given permission, and they say, you can only have but one wife, okay? Who's right? Is the religious authority right, or is God right? We know that God is the only one that's right. But why do some of these religious authorities put new laws on the books that are not what God said? Well, we don't have to worry about that, because if any of our religious authorities say anything, the first thing that we as educated Muslims are going to say is that in the Quran? Even if it's a hadith, we say hadith, these are sayings that the Prophet, peace be upon him, was reported to have said, or things he had approved of, or things he had not approved of that were recorded. These are records of his life. And if we hear hadith, and it seems, based on our knowledge of the Quran, that is not connected with the Quran, we reject that hadith. Because why? Because the pure hadith is the Quran. Because why? Because the prophet's wife said that the prophet was the Quran walking. So when you saw the prophet, you saw the Quran, but you saw the best hadith, because he was the living hadith, pure hadith, not something that somebody decided to change for their own convenience. And the reason why we went into all this is to say that we have to be very careful that as Muslims, we need to learn the Quran. We need to understand the Quran. We need to know the history of the Quran. We need to even know the circumstances when things were revealed in the Quran, so we realize what the Quran was talking about when it said something, so that we'll understand that particular revelation may have had a particular circumstance that it was relating to, so we can understand what brought that about. For an example, the Quran Prophet Muhammad for almost 13 years refrained from attacking his enemies, refrained from fighting back when people persecuted him, when people even tried to kill him, and when they killed his followers, when they killed his relatives even. He did not fight back until God said to him, you should get up and you should fight. He said, persecution is worse than being outright killed. He told him to go ahead and to take action to defend himself and the believers. Now, he had left the place where they were persecuting him before he started fighting. He wasn't fighting when he was in his hometown in Mecca. You didn't hear about him raising an army and doing guerrilla warfare on his enemies, sneaking up and trying to blow them up. No, he took it. He took it, and then God blessed him with people that understood what he was trying to do to make a better life for people, invited him to leave and go to their town, which is called Yathrib at the time, but later we call it the city of the prophet, or the Medina al-Nabi. But the fact is that when he got there, then his enemies pursued him. They came where he was trying to take the people back and put them back in a bad condition, and God said, you need to go ahead and start fighting. And then he started fighting. Now, the point that we're trying to make is that Prophet Muhammad only did what God told him to do. He did not make up new laws. He didn't fight because he said, I'm mad at these people. I'm angry. I'm going to fight. He waited until God said, okay, now it's time for you to fight. And that's the kind of leadership we need. We need leadership that's going to tell us exactly what came from God, because God is the one that's going to give us heaven or give us hell. He's the only one that can make that decision. I don't know what's going to happen to you. I don't even know what's going to happen to me, except that the Quran says that if I serve God, then he's going to bless me to be saved from the hellfire and go to the paradise, if I serve him. I don't know what you're doing behind closed doors. You don't know what I'm doing behind closed doors. So nobody can judge anybody else, except God judges everybody. So the point we're trying to make, we're going to close in a minute, is that we have to know what God wants us to do. And we can do it, because all we have to do is become familiar with this book. Now, what we should do, and our brother here, he speaks Arabic. He was trained to speak Arabic. Many of you were trained when you were little children to speak Arabic. But what we need to learn how to do, brothers, is learn how to speak the Quranic Arabic. See, there's a difference. Now, I'll tell you something. Now, I've been studying Arabic. I don't speak Arabic, but I've been studying Arabic I started studying Arabic in college about 50 years ago. But that was the conversational Arabic. But nobody around me spoke conversational Arabic, so I didn't have any chance to practice. But I learned how to write the letters and say the sounds. Later, when I became a Muslim, because I wasn't a Muslim at first, maybe I had just become a Muslim, I started studying the Quranic Arabic. Now, I went to Arabia. I was stationed on a ship, and we went to Abu Dhabi, and we went to Saudi Arabia. We didn't get to Oman, but we went to Dubai. Went to Egypt. I went to Morocco. When I was in Abu Dhabi, I'm in a taxi, and I'm looking at the signs on the stores. And I couldn't understand, even though I had been reading Arabic and the Quran, I couldn't understand what the signs were saying, because it wasn't the Arabic that I was familiar with. See, I was only familiar with the Quranic Arabic. But they were talking about stuff that was not in the Quran. See, so what I'm saying is, if you know Arabic, but you don't know the words that are in the Quran, then you need to go and get somebody to help you understand what's in the Quran, even though you may speak Arabic conversationally, just like me. I'm a college professor. There are certain words that we use in the academic world that everyday people don't use. I'm not going to try to impress you with words, but I'm just saying that. Now, if a person wants to become a college professor, they have to learn a new language within the language. In other words, you can speak English, but you may not speak the university type of English. So you may speak Arabic, but you may not be able to speak the Arabic of the Quran. So Muslims should learn to speak the Arabic of the Quran. We should be so familiar with the Arabic of the Quran that even if a scholar, an Arabic-speaking sheikh, a mullah, says something in Arabic, and it's deviating from what the Quran says, we should be able to check and say, subhanAllah, that's not what the Quran says. That's not right. We should be able to check anybody, because we should be so knowledgeable in the Quran that we can become the Hafiz and we can become the protector of God's word, because it's only God's word that will keep us from falling into sin. It's only God's word that will keep us from being victimized by the attractiveness of some of the invitations that are all around us to deviate and do things that will harm us and eventually put us in the hellfire. Only God's word will save us. And God's word is expressed in the Quran, and we know that the one that was the example.
Assalamu alaikum. You have been listening to a khutbah by Imam Marshal Musa Muslim Abui. This khutbah was actually delivered in two parts, and one part was actually done a little over a year ago in October of 2019. The other was done a couple of years prior to that. So you'll understand that this does not address the current event situation. And so, first of all, I want to thank our sponsor, Brother Imam Murad Muhammad, and his organization, New Africa Excellence Enterprise, LLC, for sponsoring this weekly talk, this Friday khutbah. We've been doing this now for going on 4 years, and we thank Allah that we've had the opportunity to reach his audience. We pray that Allah will bless all who tune in to be benefited by the teaching of Al-Islam that we bring forth in the khutbah. I do want to take this opportunity to mention something that is very important that is not directly related to what we've talked about for the last hour and a half or hour and 45 minutes or so, however long we've been on the air. I guess we really have been on the air only about 45 minutes. And that is the current situation. I'm taking this time to do this tonight because even though Islam, al-Islam, is the universal message from Allah, I have made it my business for the last 50 years. Actually, next month it'll be 52 years to address our African-American people with the teaching of al-Islam. And so, since this is the community that I primarily serve, although for the last 20 years, with the exception of the last 10 months, I have been addressing an international community as the imam at the military base, a military post at Fort Gordon, where most of the people that come to Juma there have been people from various Muslim countries throughout the world that are assigned to Fort Gordon for different levels of officer training. But the fact is that I do want to make mention of the need for our African-American people, particularly our young African-American people, the young males particularly, but not just the males, females as well. And it's just not for young people, but they're the primary targets, to be aware that America is in danger, and in very, very serious danger. What I term the satanic survivalists, these are people who are trying to see that Satan's white supremacy program survives, especially as we go through a different administration, and they're taking out their anger at the change of leadership on anyone, including their own people, but they have a plan to take out their anger on African Americans, particularly young African American males and females. So I would say to anyone, be very vigilant, do not do anything that will bring you into a situation where you become an easy target for these people. Many of them, unfortunately, are on the police forces. You just never know. But don't allow yourself to be endangered by being out of order, so to speak. But don't go into neighborhoods where you may find yourself being kidnapped. There was a saying many years ago in many white neighborhoods, and these people meant every word of it. They didn't use the word, I'm using the word Negro. They used the N-word that we're familiar with. Don't be caught in this part of town after sunset. When it gets dark, we don't want you in this part of town. Now, that even includes driving through some of those neighborhoods, because they will, and they have, stopped innocent people, kidnapped them, and murdered them just for driving through their neighborhood. I know many of us like to go into the more affluent sections of town, to neighborhoods that have nicer stores to do our shopping. But if you can't get off the main road, the freeway or whatever, and go right down into that store and get back on it, if you have to drive through that neighborhood, I would suggest you do your shopping before it gets dark. This is a serious time. You may have seen the pictures, the films, the video clips of these barbaric, savage acting people that stormed, invaded, and actually tried to destroy the capital of the United States. I won't even go into some of the things that I heard they were doing within the capital. But it was terrible because they wanted to show how much they disrespected the current state of government in America, where you and I are able to vote, where our African Americans are able to vote. They don't like that because they know that would change the political power base, the political power structure. And so I'm going to leave with that. But I just want all of you, especially parents of young teenagers and others, young men and women that may be out of their teens, they may be in their 30s or 40s, but be very vigilant. May Allah reward you. I pray Allah that He will bless you with a safe week coming up as we go through the change of power, the change of presidential and vice presidential leadership, and other leadership in the Senate and so forth, the Congress. There's going to be a great upheaval. Some people say this is a new civil war. But just be safe, be aware, keep your trust in Allah. But God tells us in the Quran, He will not change the condition of a people unless they change what is in themselves. So we can't go into harm's way and not be prepared to deal with the harm that may come our way. Allah helps those who help themselves, even though He will always make a way for us. But we have to realize that Allah is giving us this warning. What we have seen Wednesday before last is a warning. So take heed and be careful. May Allah reward you. Assalamu alaikum.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.